Thank you, Jason, for having me here, and thank you for the opportunity to present my results on where and how deadwood of European beech influences soil. I work at the University of Freiburg in southwest Germany. You may not notice a German accent in my speech. That's because I'm born and raised in California, so it's a pleasure to be back to be able to present some things here. But of course, as anyone wants to, Sie können natürlich fragen nach Deutsch am Ende stellen, oder danach, aber top of that. And do excuse me if I do say any of the units in German, because I've used it almost my entire working life in this field, in that language. So, just briefly, an outline of where I'm going to go. Deadwood and soils, and how we get to the questions where and how might these the interaction between these two components in the forest ecosystems may come up with something new, as well as then describe the case study that we've been doing in southwest Germany, namely from 8 different forested stands, and then briefly summarize the results and briefly bring up what type of implications for management or forest development they may have. So, piece of deadwood, downed woody debris. Nice picture, it's decomposing, but as all of you here probably quite know, this is not the entire picture. One, there's the forest floor underneath it, other leaf and litter, branch litter, and naturally, of course, for us as soil scientists, there's soil underneath it. And quite honestly, something is going on here. There's been studies over the last 20, 30 years periodically that indicates that coarse woody debris or deadwood can influence soil, but it's not always consistent. And at least from a study that we actually just got accepted for publication this morning, where we were looking at 2 different tree species, the influence that it had differed. It was not the same for woody gymnosperms and woody angiosperms. And essentially the findings from that study is we are hypothesizing that how deadwood influences soil is dependent on metabolites, so decay metabolites that come out of this coarse woody debris. And for us, of special interest is lignin, with thinking it's somehow related to that. Yet, if it is dependent on decay metabolites, this type of organic matter usually is quite liable and susceptible to disturbances, which are a natural feature of forest ecosystems. In that sense, how coarse woody debris would influence soils or interact with soils would be influenced by a number of other site characteristics, namely climate, underlying geology, microbial and other biological communities, and naturally humans and human use. So our primary question is, in general, does woody debris and deadwood impact soil properties? And the follow-up questions, which are more important probably in some sense, if so, to what extent? And again, if so, under what conditions, or essentially where? And thirdly, if so, through what processes? And for us, again, is it at all related to lignin? So, on to our case study in southwest Germany. We sampled 8 European beech stands in primarily Baden-Württemberg, the federal state in the southwest corner of Germany, or the Rhine-Palatinate, or of Deutsch Rhineland-Pfalz. And they differed based primarily on the type of forest floor they had and the underlying bedrock. I'll start here in the bottom right. These 2 sites here, Teuschbuch and Siebtefuß, are 2 European beech stands on the Schwäbische Alb, which is a calcaric bedrock mountain range that runs basically through the southwest, from the southwest corner to the northeast gradient in southern Germany. And they're characterized again by this calcaric, calcium carbonate-rich bedrock and a mule-type forest floor. So a forest floor with more biological activity and no development of an OA horizon. The other 2 sites that are characterized by this mule forest floor type are here in the Southern Black Forest, Sternwald and Kapital, quite close to Freiburg. But these are quite different in that they are on a paragneiss or silicate type bedrock. The other 4 sites then differed in the sense primarily that there was a development of an OA horizon, much less earthworm and other biological activity. And again, also on silicate sites. Again, here, pergnite, and especially here, red sandstone, or Buntsandstein auf Deutsch. So at each of these eight sites, four pairs of a test point and control points were sampled. The test points were directly as close as possible to decomposing deadwood, and the control points were 2 to 3 meters away. So each stand, there were four pairs of these situated throughout the forest stand. And to really compare if these two points are different, especially for later in the results, this is a point to pay attention to. We calculate sort of the difference between these points in a sense an absolute quality. So if the calcium concentration at this point minus the calcium concentration at this point, we get our absolute difference. More interest probably is a relative difference between these two points. So the calcium content here minus the calcium concentration here divided by the calcium concentration at these points. That's relative change in soil properties compared to control points. And to test or to see whether it is significantly different between these points, we use linear mixed effects models with each of the different stands and stems set as random factors. And of importance probably for what processes we're looking at, we use pairwise, very preliminary pairwise analysis with cupric oxide lignin markers. So, just to on to results. Again here, the scale is this relative delta, so the relative change in deadwood points compared to control points, relative to the control points. And in this slide, we're looking at changes in soil organic matter. On the left is the stands grouped by whether they were this mule-type forest floor on calcaric bedrock, or on silicate bedrock, or mortar-type forest floor on silicate bedrock. On the right, we have different decay stages from the deadwood, which were not significantly different between each of these sites. As you may notice, we don't have significant differences for every property, but for quite a number. Here, in total organic carbon, no change at all. From the cupric oxide oxidation results, the total vanillin, syringol, and p-cinnamal markers in concentration total were significantly increased next to deadwood, but at mule silicate sites. But typically, the other results we found were improved UV absorption index to water extractable organic carbon, and as well as water extractable organic carbon concentrations at mortar silicate sites. And a decrease in free light fraction by calcaric sites. And we see a somewhat similar pattern as well for decay classes. Typically, the highest, most changes we found were for highly decayed deadwood. In soil chemical properties, as well for nitrogen, for instance, or pH, and in this case, potential cation exchange capacity, so this is where the pH was buffered, we found some limited differences, namely an increase in the CN ratio, and typically a very high enrichment in exchangeable calcium. Again, mostly at mortar silicate sites and heavily decomposed deadwood. We also did water retention curves. So we got a pore size distribution as well as porosity and air flux conductivity coefficients. And we found, again, some changes in macropores and general porosity at mortar silicate sites, as well as somewhat a decrease in the amount of mesopores for mole silicate sites. And again, for decay classes, highly decayed deadwood had no significant changes. But again, for mesopores, seemed to be a slight decrease. So, on to lignin. And this, again, must say, is quite preliminary results. I just got the data a week and a half ago. So, this is four samples annexed to deadwood. These are the correlations that we found are just generally overall. So you see a typically strong, positive, relatively middle strong correlation with this lignin concentration, so extractable lignin concentrations, I must say, and the degree of oxidation. This is the vanillin acid divided by aldehyde vanillin ratios. higher this number, typically the more oxidized the lignin is. Perhaps of some interest to you, though, is this relation between these properties and the UV absorbance. Quite often, you'll find UV absorbance to say that the percentage of aromaticity in either DOM samples or non-extractable organic matter samples. And we may at first think more oxidized lignin, you probably would find a higher concentration in water extractable samples. And in fact, we found quite the opposite. If we include, though, the concentrations in the heavy fraction, we see it's probably just an interesting combination of accessibility and how much is actually extractable or soluble in the soil. With a higher amount of carbon in the heavy fraction, we found quite higher concentrations in lignin markers, as well as typically higher degrees of oxidation. And naturally, then the converse, a decrease or typically lower UV absorption. But we're not just interested in how lignin affects soil organic matter. We're also looking at how it relates to soil functioning. And I'm sorry if the size is a little small here. Here in the middle is pH, which is typical, higher pH, and seemingly a higher degree of oxidation. If we include the cation exchange capacity values for both total carbon, total lignin and degree of oxidation, we found higher or positive correlations. And also, perhaps of particular interest was this exchangeable calcium, which was highly correlated with the degree of oxidation. And these relations, or correlations with lignin, were not just limited to soil chemical properties, but if we include the fine pores, this is pore size smaller than 0.2 micrometers, so really in this inner clay size range, again we find a high correlation with the degree of oxidized lignin. So to bring this more to a close and summarize the results, we did find that deadwood can influence soil organic matter, composition, and quality, nutrient availability, and a number of structural parameters or physical parameters. Typically, the largest effects we found were at motosilicate sites with highly decayed deadwood, but it was not just limited to those sites. There were at other locations as well. Typically, we did find that lignin increased, and we found that chemical structure as well in soil organic matter, and we have found that both total and the degree of oxidized lignin interact with both soil organic matter, chemical properties, and the pore structure. Naturally, though, what does this mean? We can do basic research, but what does it relate to management? These site-specific changes certainly suggest that deadwood and how it interacts with soil is not equal throughout any forest ecosystem. In that sense, if forest management wants to take into consideration deadwood management for soil functioning, it ought to be flexible and adaptive to a number of different site conditions and human activity. For instance, if the largest effects we're finding at low biologically active sites and with extensively decayed deadwood, it indicates that time is maybe necessary for these decay processes. And perhaps here in Western North America, where thinning intensity or frequency is quite low, 20, 30 years, maybe 40 years at intervals. In Central Europe, it's typically more 5 to 10 years. So the frequency is then of greater interest. But naturally, it's not just for forest management. If deadwood does influence soil organic matter quality and chemical properties and physical functioning, its role in soil development is as yet not studied or not discussed and ought to be. So with that, I thank you for your attention, as well as my funders and collaborators, and I'm available for questions. So. Pre-study, in some sense, I just accepted. We were looking at functional enzymatic activity. We found no significant increases in that by beech deadwood, but p-value was under 0.1, so it's possible. We are certainly, in one sense, relating with the metabolites do come from deadwood, it would be related to fungal activity or wood decomposition, so it is of interest to us, but at these sites, unfortunately, we're not able to take the samples or be able to analyze it. Further on in the study, we are interested in looking at enzymatic activity in general and see if that relates to the total lignin concentrations. It's a very interesting question. I had not really, I must admit, not yet considered this. It is quite possible that typically in stemwood, the highest calcium concentrations, at least for European beech, is found in bark. This may be then at earlier decay stages, a preliminary decay of bark. And in the middle, you don't have that influence as much anymore, or it's being leached or taken back up by vegetation. And with heavier decay, seemingly then more what may have been inside actual cell structures is now then moving into the four cells. It's just a hypothesis, though. But it's an interesting note that not just for calcium, but also for magnesium and potassium seems to have the same pattern.